Hello again, this is Neil Grant, author of the book Words of Wisdom from a Christian Mentor, practical, real life, and holistic advice for the graduate transitioning into adulthood. This book will soon be available for purchase from my website, newgradadvice.com, or from Amazon and other book dealers. I am in the series on personal finances, and my last podcast in this series talked about insurance issues, understanding the basics that you'll need to learn about for this important topic. It was a pretty dry subject, I admit, yet still very useful and educational, in my opinion. Today is a special topic relating to buying your first home. This is not a relative topic to many young people, as it will take some time to build up a little equity needed for a down payment. That said, consider taking the key aspects of this involved process and putting them into your memory, so that you will be prepared to make this important move when the time is right. To me, this is one of the more exciting and interesting topics. It's also a little lengthy. There are a few more things exciting for a young person or couple than buying their first home. And it's a bit scary. As you will soon realize, the passing of papers is simply the culmination of many days of planning, research, meetings, and viewings, and arranging for financing and preparing for that day of closing. It takes a lot of effort, which many young people don't realize. This podcast will guide you through this arduous but exciting process. Let's talk about planning. There is a myriad of questions that you will have to address before you even start looking for a new place. Why am I moving? First-time buyers may want to experience their American dream of owning their own home and making this great investment. The apartment is not conducive to our lifestyle. Oh, we've grown out of this place, and many other typical reasons. So what are the major factors concerning where I want to live? We're looking for a good school system. We want to be closer to work. We want a more rural or city-like location. And again, many other reasons. So understand why you're moving and where you want to go to. Let's examine your financial situation. Once you answer some basic questions, then you will need to address and assess your financial situation and decide if it aligns with the impact of the responses above, or you may need to reconsider your first plans. For example, if living closer to work puts you in a real expensive area that you can't afford, you need to consider a different area to look and have a longer commute. It's never too early to start planning for your first home. One of the most important factors in your ability to buy this home is your credit score. You should already be working on maximizing your credit score by paying all your bills on time and learn to say no to that luxury item that you can do without. Use credit cards, but pay them off full each month. The reason is to build a good history of repaying loans and build and maintain a good credit score. Even if you pay on time but have a lot of debt, you may not qualify for a loan because your debt-to-income ratio is too high. This ratio is the sum of all of your monthly debts, credit cards, car payments, etc., divided by your gross monthly income. The highest ratio a buyer can have is about 43% to qualify for a mortgage. In line with this is your FICO or credit score. For a conventional loan, you will need a score of 620. Otherwise, you will probably need to take out a government-backed loan by the Federal Housing Authority, FHA, or the Veterans Administration, VA, if you are an active duty service person or veteran. Even with these backed loans, you will need a score of 580 to probably even qualify. Before you begin looking at homes, find a good loan officer to pre-qualify you and guide you to the best type of loan for your situation. He or she will tell you how much they can lend you so that you now know what price range to look for in your house search. Stay within those parameters so you won't be disappointed or waste your time looking at houses that you cannot afford. You also need to save money for a down payment and closing costs. If you are a veteran, you can get a loan with no money down, but FHA and conventional loans require a down payment. The minimum down payment for an FHA loan is about 3.5%, depending on your credit score. A conventional loan will require at least 5% down, but the more traditional down payment is 20% of the selling price. One special note, if you buy a house with less than 20% down, you must have private mortgage insurance, PMI, which helps defray the risk the lender undertakes by giving you a mortgage with a minimal down payment and possibly having a low FICO score. Depending on your score, your upfront PMI payment could be as much as 1.5% to 2% of your mortgage value, and your monthly mortgage payment will be increased by $30 to $70 per $100,000 of your loan. So, if you are buying a home and plan to take out a $250,000 loan, your PMI at closing could possibly be an additional $5,000, and your monthly payment may go up by $175. If money is tight, this is something you need to realize while you are examining your financial situation. Aside from the conventional FHA and VA loans, there are various types of mortgages that you will just be touched on here. So one is the fixed price mortgage. The interest rate stays steady for the life of the loan. You should consider only buying this one. An adjustable rate mortgage, ARM. You will start out at a lower annual interest rate, but that can be adjusted within certain parameters throughout the life of the mortgage, depending on how mortgage interest rates change. So if inflation goes up, your annual interest will also go up along with your monthly payments. An interest-only loan. Your monthly payment will be lower as you are not paying back on the principal, but after a few years, your monthly payment may come to include principal payments. I recommend against this because you are not building up equity in the home. Now we move on to house hunting. You now have decided why you are moving, have found an area that fits your criteria, and one you generally can afford. So now it's time to start looking. It would be a good idea to go online and start looking in your selected area or areas for houses that are in your price range and meet any criteria you have. In the meantime, you should select a realtor in that area to help you in the search, completing the paperwork and guiding you through the entire house purchase process. Be aware that the owner and seller of the house will pay the real estate agent's fees, and it's not up to you. Through your own online search, you will develop a better idea of what you want or can afford, and then you can start working with the realtor. This will give that person a better feel for what you want in your selected locations. The realtor can now do an in-depth search and provide you with a list of houses to physically view. Once you have come up with an agreed list of places to see, you and the agent will visit each location and together can further narrow down the search. If you have found a place you like, you may wish to involve some relatives or close friends to get their opinion through a second visit. Now it's time to make a decision with the advice of the realtor. You're ready to submit a formal offer to buy the house. Along with the submittal of the offer form, you will provide a small amount of earnest money. This will show that you are a serious buyer, and this money will be forfeited if you later decide to rescind your offer. You will also provide your pre-qualification letter, which shows the owner that you are financially capable of getting the required financing and buying the house. Let's talk about the next step, agreeing to buy the house. It's quite common that the owner will not accept your offer, but will provide a counter offer for you to accept as the new selling price. It's now up to you to accept this, revert to your original offer, or make a new offer. At some point in time, a price will be agreed and the agent will complete a purchase and sale agreement, which is a legally binding agreement to purchase the house at the new agreed price, with any caveats included, such as passing a home inspection, etc. In the purchase and sale agreement, you have agreed on an option period, usually 7 to 10 days, to give you the right to have the property inspected by a licensed inspector, which will do a mechanical and structural inspection and send you a report. If there are repairs that you feel are required to be done before closing, then you can insist the owner completes them or pays you so that you can arrange for the work to be done once you own the house. If the owner does not agree to do this and the repairs are significant, you may opt out of the contract and you will get your earnest money refunded. Once the two parties reach a resolution on these issues from the inspection report, the process can proceed and your earnest money will be credited to you at the closing. The mortgage company will verify your employment, income, credit report, and bank account as part of the mortgage application process. The house will also be appraised to verify that it is not priced above the market value. Your mortgage company is required to give you a truth in lending statement itemizing your closing costs, and in the meantime, you will need to shop for home insurance and flood insurance if it's required. You will be surprised to see the amount of money you will need to pay at closing, so be ready for it and take it into account with your initial financial evaluation. Here are the things that you need to understand. The existing owner is required to pay all real estate taxes and homeowner association fees and utility costs up to the closing date, as well as the realtor's fees and a few other minor items. You will be responsible for any fees or costs for your lawyer, if you have one, the home appraisal costs, the property survey, the home inspection, title insurance, transfer and clerk fees, and a few more less expensive items. You should set aside about 3% of the loan amount to cover these over and above the PMI fee due at passing. All of this will take up to 60 days to finalize, and then the happy day is here. You will sign all the papers at the title company, bringing your certified funds or having them wired to the title company. When all parties have signed and the mortgage company approved all the papers, you will receive the keys to your new home. Congratulations. Now the fun begins, home repairs. You are now a homeowner, and as with any asset, it'll start to deteriorate and need some tender, loving care. As with most new owners, they don't have a clue what to do if something in need of repair. And most likely, you don't have the tools required to complete the repair. So, are you prepared to continually hire somebody when something goes wrong and pay that repair person an hourly wage, which may be more than you make? The first lesson you need to learn from the very start is that you can probably fix it yourself, but you just don't know how to yet. As you have never had the issue in front of you previously, you've never had to figure it out. So now is the time to start. With my first home, I installed a new bathroom, a new kitchen, painted the house inside and out, sanded floors, put up wallpaper, did some plumbing work, and with the help of a friend, did some electrical wiring. I did hire a plumber friend to help with the critical plumbing work, but that was only for a day. And my wife said, But you don't know how to do this stuff. You're right, but I'll learn to. I soon realized that the plumber or handyman was no smarter than me. It's just that he's seen the problem previously and knew how to quickly solve it. I had to muddle my way through learning how to do it, but I gained a lot of experience and saved an enormous amount of money. Also, I knew I would care a lot more about how the finished product looked than the contractor would, who had another job to go to tomorrow. At first, the results were just okay, but as time and efforts passed, the work ended up being fantastic, if I must say so myself. So the lesson to you is go on YouTube or other sources to learn how to tackle a repair project. Go get the tools you need and then go ahead and do it. You may wish to start having a friend help you and show you the ropes, but you will soon be confident enough and have the right tools for the job to get it done. Don't underestimate your ability to do this work. The only areas I do not tackle are some of the more involved electrical work and appliance repair. I simply don't have the desire to get into the details of electronics and large appliances, so I hire a repair person to take care of these. But that's only about 5% or less of all the repair work needing to be done. Large projects like installing a new roof or working on a house foundation are all above my pay grade as well. Let's talk about loan amortization. At some point in time, you may be thinking of refinancing your home to get a better interest rate if, in general, the rates have gone down since you bought the house. There are a couple things you need to think about when deciding if you really want to do this. First, refinancing will cost you a few thousand dollars, and when this is done, the lending agency will probably roll this cost into the new loan amount, so there will be zero or minimal out-of-pocket refinancing costs. So if you now have an outstanding balance, let's say of $100,000 on your existing loan, you may now have a new 30-day mortgage balance of $103,000, albeit at a lower interest rate. Secondly, the amortization of a loan is a critical piece of information for all people to have an understanding of how loans really work. At the start of your loan period, the vast amount of your money monthly payment goes towards paying off your interest obligation, with a much smaller amount going towards paying off the principal or loan amount. I've provided the table in my book showing how much your monthly payment went towards this principal and how much went towards interest payment. And it's a little easier to understand seeing this graph. However, here are some details that can be seen to help you understand what I'm saying. After you've been paying your monthly payment for one full year, your remaining balance is 98.5%, or about that, of the original amount. So in essence, in 1 year of a 30-year mortgage, you've paid off 1/30th of mortgage, or 3.3%, but you've only paid 1.5% of the loan. After you've been paying for half the loan period, let's say 15 years, you still roughly owe the lending institution about 2/3 of the original amount. You will not have paid off half the loan of a 30-year mortgage until after 20 years. For a 5% interest loan, you will have paid about 93.5% of the original loan amount and interest. Think about this. So for a $100,000 loan, you will have paid $93,500 in interest over 30 years. So what? As far as I know, when you refinance, you are starting the amortization curve all over again. In year 21, the amount of your monthly payment goes approximately half towards interest and half towards principal. If you finance at this time, your monthly payment will be lower, but instead of paying off 50% of the payment off the loan, only 1.5% will go towards reducing the principal in the first year. When we moved to Houston in 1982, we were blessed to have a 16.5% mortgage interest rate. 16.5%. 18 months later, I was able to refinance down to 11%, which resulted in a considerably smaller monthly payment, and it was certainly worth the effort and cost to refinance. I now have a 3.6% interest rate, and there is really no advantage to refinancing to save maybe 0.5%, as I would go back to the beginning of the amortization curve, and I will have also incurred another $2,000 to $3,000. I want to give a special thanks to Mary Lou Moritz of Realm Real Estate Professionals in the Houston area to contributing to this podcast. So what's the takeaway message? There's a lot of work and decisions that go into buying your first home, and it all begins by getting your financial house in order. Before you even start looking, get your credit score up, as previously stated. Become debt-free, and then understand why you are moving, where you prefer to move to, and learn how much you can afford from your banker or lending institution. Do your research and then go for it, along with employing a trusted realtor. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. I hope you felt this was worthy of your time. My next topic will be on buying a vehicle and my latest experience in this adventure. please visit my soon-to-be-launched website, newgradadvice.com. So long for now, and again, thanks for listening. Bye.